Good afternoon, and welcome to Our Recourse, a one-hour radio show named in honor of the Immaculate Mother of God, hosted by Brian Gale. As Pope Francis says, Jesus Christ is the mercy of God. And as our beloved Church has long taught, His Mother is our ever-faithful recourse to that mercy. So sit back for the next hour and enjoy Our Recourse with Brian Gale.
Welcome. Welcome to Our Recourse. Thanks for tuning in today. We think, a terrific show for you. It's a beautiful day, maybe mid-30s, but bright sun. Awful nice to see that bright sun. I was down in Florida for the past week with my bride, and when I got back, I have to tell you, seeing the clouds and a little bit of snow yesterday, not at all conducive to the kind of good spirit you like to have. But boy, did that day end well, huh? What an incredible event last night. And I say that because, you know, we have this young man, this quarterback, who has told his backstory to anybody who would listen. And that is several years ago, he felt that it was time to hang up his cleats, to quit, to move on in life. And he prayed and discerned with his wife, grace of the covenant, the union, the good, faithful Christian gentleman that he is. And he felt that God was kind of coaxing him to continue. And he really heard that through his wife. And so he does. And he ends up on the world stage last night. And doesn't the Lord lift him up so that his heart's desire, which he also announced right before the game, that he wanted to, when he retired, he wanted to become a pastor, wanted to preach the Christian faith. Doesn't the Lord lift him up on the world stage, give him a platform that he'll be able to preach from for the rest of his days? And when he holds up the trophy as the most valuable player in this epic event, and it was, whether you're a football fan or not, it was certainly an epic event. What's the first thing out of his mouth? All glory to God. And isn't he holding just the sweetest little baby girl, infant, that you could ever imagine? A pro-life statement, if I dare say so, in and of itself, without his saying anything. Just holding that precious life and saying, making some sort of throwaway line about, she doesn't even really understand what's going on here. But the truth of the matter is all the 120 or so million people tuning in did know, and many of us understood exactly what that beautiful picture was saying to our country and beyond. But anyway, back to our program, and we have a wonderful gentleman with us today. He's a dear friend. He does more good, I have to say, in this archdiocese and has for, I'm going to say, at least 30 years than any two guys, honestly, that I know. He is the chairman of Regina Academies, and we're going to talk about that today. He is one of the church's leading proponents of intelligent design. We're going to talk about that today. Really an authority that has been drawn to Europe and elsewhere, to share his wisdom on this great scientific breakthrough that's some years in the making, that yet has not been mainstream quite yet, but will in time. He's also a wonderful Knight of the Immaculate every year. He organizes a retreat of about 300 men or so at the Malvern Retreat House, and the events are just a joy for the men that come. And, you know, in this past year, we had to cut them off the request for rooms about 2 or 3 weeks prior to. He's obviously been very involved in the pro-life movement, witnessing at various Planned Parenthood abortion mills and the like, and on and on and on. But maybe the signature characteristic of my dear friend Tim Renane is that he is really, in my judgment, the patriarch in waiting for the first family in this archdiocese. He and Mary Jane are the parents of 9 incredible children and 25, count them, 25 grandchildren. And a lot of those nine are still young and in their productive years. Who knows how many they will be blessed with when all is said and done. But I say incredible because I don't know anybody else with nine children, and I don't know anybody else that have all nine of the children active in the faith, not just in the faith, but active in some way in the faith, all of which speaks to the example of the dad and the mom. And those kids, some of those young men now, are on fire because I see it, and I see the things that they're involved in and the many activities, and they have just taken their lead from their dad. And it's an incredible thing to witness, and it's a great joy to be able to call him a friend and to introduce him to our audience today as our guest. Tim, welcome.
Thank you, Brian, and I could say all those same things about you and much more. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. It was very kind of you.
Tim, let's talk today about Regina Academies. I think it's one of the really exciting developments in this archdiocese over the last 15 years. And I remember when you and Paul and Barbara Henkels got started with this thing with Regina Chaley, of which you're still very actively involved. But it has grown now. There's, I think, five different academies, one of which is a high school at O'Hara, Regina Chesterton Academy. About 400 kids from maybe, I don't know, 200, 250 families, something like that. And the families that are members of the Regina Academy communities, the various ones, just speak about their experience and their children's experience with in a way that I haven't heard anybody else talk about educational experience for their children. What is the mission of Regina Academies, and how is it that it is in just stirred so many of these wonderful families and their children onto such eloquence in describing the experience of it?
Well, Brian, I would say the mission is to renew families and to renew and to do that by renewing their faith, by strengthening their faith, by helping the parents as the primary educators pass on the faith. And to do and to make them future leaders, and to do that, we need to make them thinkers, people that have the knowledge on how to think, but also a heck of a lot of knowledge, so that they can articulate the correct way of thinking, so that they can be fruitful citizens, and of course, great parents, and people who get to heaven in the end, themselves and their friends, and certainly their children and grandchildren. So I think that's kind of a lofty mission of the Regina Academies.
Well, what I hear in those words is a call to holiness, an authentic call to holiness, without sacrificing any of the academic rigor. In fact, if I'm understanding correctly, quite the contrary. The academic rigor is at a different level, if I'm not mistaken, and national standardized testing reveals that.
Yes, our kids do very well as a school. We are typically in the 92 to 95 percentile. We do very well, of course, in anything to do with writing and English and rhetoric and that kind of thing, and certainly math and science. So our kids perform very highly when they get to high school. We get all kinds of great anecdotes back from their parents about they're the only kids in the school that know this or that about the faith, or have read this or that book already that they're not going to read in high school till, you know, 11th or 12th grade. We just had a young woman who's our eighth grader at Regina Chaley win a national contest, essay contest. 88 schools similar to ours participated. She was the top winner, and the title of her paper was Machiavelli in Atheistic Materialism. So that was pretty impressive. I know we have a lot of board members that had to do some research on the internet to figure out what she was talking about.
I know that woman, that young lady, Natalie Stewart. Can you imagine? And I think she's got three scholarships at area.
So far, yeah.
So far.
Chaley, we had last year, we had 13 graduates. 10 of them had scholarships. And the other three didn't even try because they were going to the new school, Martin Saints, where there are no scholarship tests. So And this year it's shaping up to be a very similar year. This year we'll have 11 graduates, and the plaudits and awards are just starting to roll in. So people want our students, and they really do well. Some of them are top students, but they all seem to be to get some sort of grant or scholarship to the local independent Catholic schools or the Archdiocesan schools, for that matter.
Boy, when you think about the value of the education and how it has a formative effect that plays itself out in substantial ways in the lives of each of these children. But the has an economic component too, because obviously when they get these scholarships, you know, the high schools aren't free anymore. The Catholic high schools are quite expensive. I mean, there's a real economic benefit to sending a child to a Regina Academy as well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There's, in terms of, are you speaking, Brian, I'm sorry, in terms of the cost of the education for what they get, you mean the value proposition?
Yeah, exactly right. If you, for whatever they're being charged, there is a discount factor, I'm saying, economically, because as they go on to high school and they get scholarships, they're paying less than they would if they went somewhere else and didn't get the scholarships.
Right, right. Of course, the families that come to our school are typically very motivated, and their kids are very motivated, and they want the best education, and they're looking to go to an excellent high school, not just a public high school, of course, for the next 4 years. One of our schools, Regina Luminous, of course, has a complete pre-K to 12 program where they can graduate from high school and go to college, and we do have the installation at O'Hara, where we have the classical education there using the Chesterton curriculum, and to produce kids that are really scoring high. Just recently, this is the second year we've been there, and those children in our program scored twice as high as the average in the school on the improvement in their PSATs. As they march through school, they take PSATs every year, getting ready for the final SATs. And the improvement year over year was twice as much for the students in our program. So we're very pleased to hear that. You know, the second year of operation there.
Isn't that extraordinary? Think about it. That's extraordinary. What parent wouldn't want that for their child? And of course, there is also a very authentic catechetical dimension of the academies. Maybe you could share with our listeners some of what that's about.
Well, of course, we do have special curriculum on Catholic formation. Certainly, our curriculum itself, our theological curriculum, is very strong, and that's why we can produce a student that can write a paper like that in eighth grade. We start with the Baltimore Catechism, and the young grades, of course, they love to memorize, and that's the first stage of the trivium that we use as our model for education. And they memorize Baltimore Catechism questions and the things that our grandparents remembered when they were in their 90s, and they could still recite, you know, the seven deadly sins and things like that. I'm thinking of my mother-in-law, for example. The simple concepts of God that are very, very important, like why did God make us and things like that. As they move through, of course, they also have other catechetical materials they're using. They have the Faith and Life series and lots of other special things that the teachers bring in. We get very deep into the faith, and we've identified various threads of thought that have undermined catechesis, and therefore we try to very specifically and consciously protect our children from future false ideas by educating them about them and giving them some ammunition so that when they see them in their future careers in school or elsewhere, they'll be able to defend them and protect their faith along the way.
Well, I want to come back to that subject because I know one of them is very foundational. But how would you assess generally the state of the academies today and what some of the great opportunities are and some of the challenges, quite frankly, that keep you up at night?
Well, the state is good. It's healthy. healthy. Certainly, the academies are growing, and we constantly get reviews, great reviews from parents and from high school teachers where the kids go. The Archbishop is certainly a fan of what we do and wrote a testimonial for us a few months back, recommending that people consider our form of education. And the classical approach is growing across the country, especially in the Catholic realm. There's probably 125 academies at least around the country. The Archbishop talked about it actually in his new book as the best way to educate the classical approach, Strangers in a Strange Land. So certainly conceptually and philosophically, we're in the right church, so to speak, the right pew, and on the right path. But running an independent school and having a philosophy that says you want to be available for anyone who wants a sound Catholic education for their kids and a strong, curriculum, means that you have to raise a lot of money for financial aid. So the schools need to grow more, and they need to find new donors, and we always struggle with that, and that's the kind of thing that keeps us up at night, as you say.
What are some of the things you do to supplement the tuition to keep the schools going?
Well, of course, one of the best, in the state of Pennsylvania, we've got the EITC, OSTC programs that allow people to apply their tax dollars to the school of their choice. So there's a 90% tax credit. So you take your taxes, you apply it to a school, you get 90% of that donation. Because now it's a donation to the school, you get it as a tax credit. You also, of course, take your donation and put it on your IRS return, and you end up, in many cases, giving a small out-of-pocket donation. But so we've been able to build up a repertoire of donors along those lines, and now we have a new program in the state, part of that, where it used to be just businesses, but now any taxpayer, except for people, special people that maybe work for the state or work or have this type of job or that type of job, but most of the people in the state now, most of the taxpayers' wage earners can contribute to EITC. So that's been a big thing. We frequently bring in somebody like a big speaker like Raymond Arroyo we had last year, and Laura Ingram, and we try to spread the knowledge of our schools and bring in a few dollars along the way. And we run tours at the school. Last year we had 140 people come through our school, and we want them to take the message to the outside world. And we run a fundraiser every year and hope that some of those folks will contribute. So there's other small fundraisers, but we don't want to burn people out on those. So it's mainly these other big ticket things, but we need donors who really believe in what we're doing, really, to keep us going and to build for the future.
Are they difficult to find in this area, Tim?
Well, as you know, Brian, this is a strong Catholic area, and there's a lot of people that care about Catholic education here because it's a tradition in the Philadelphia area. But, of course, we also have lots of competition. We have the mission schools. We have the Faith in the Future for the high schools and other people as well raising money for education. So it's an uphill slog, but as we get our message out and people understand what it is we do and why it's different, we tend to continue to build our base.
Why, at the end of the day, do parents bring their children to a Regina Academy as opposed to, in many cases, a parish school that might be much closer and less expensive?
Well, we know that most of our parents come to us because of the Catholic formation that the children get. They can articulate their faith. They love their faith. And when they leave our school at 14, they basically have the faith implanted in their hearts, and it'll be there for their whole life. We know from demographic data from Barna and now Cara that basically what you believe and know about the faith and about Christ and his church when you're 13 is what you die believing.
Wow.
So, and people lose their faith at 13, and they education is absolutely critical. So we need to arm the kids, not with a bunch of fluff, but with real sound thinking and doctrine, and in defense of their faith. And that's what we do. And that's why a lot of people come. But more and more people are looking to escape Common Core, especially the math part of Common Core, and they are looking at what we do and finding it refreshing and very powerful. So our schools are getting more and more of those kind of people. And we need to get to the larger Catholic community, communicate and market to them so that they know what we have is available as an option to them. And I think, we've got some plans to do that in a better way.
I think many of us have probably read in the past month or so, Betty DeVoe, who is the Secretary for Education under this current administration, said that there will be an end to Common Core. What's that about, and is it likely that that could happen this year, and how would that affect maybe the Regina Academies?
Well, that's kind of interesting to hear that. I would think if it became a negative, it would have people look even more carefully at the alternatives, at the fact that their children were being educated that way. I'm not up to speed on what you're talking about. There's a lot of money and people's reputations invested in what they've done with Common Core, so it's going to be tough to yank it back out. But as you know, a lot of teachers knew it was the wrong way to go anyway and continue to teach the way they've always taught. But a continuation of the John Dewey naturalism,
yes.
And he was an atheist who changed the education to a pragmatic approach and focused on the things of man rather than and totally eliminated the things of God. So the Common Core is a natural outgrowth of that, the idea that it could be so utilitarian and pragmatic and not necessarily producing people who had a wide knowledge and an ability to use that knowledge to think through the difficult problems that we face as a culture and as a nation.
So a guy like Dewey, in effect, who is the father of, quote, progressive, it's interesting, isn't it? The
right.
Terminology is always fascinating to me. I mean, here you have something that's so regressive that proudly labels itself as progressive.
Yeah.
Regressive in the sense that they fairly have shut the door to maybe, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 years of learning, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the classical education approach starts with the premise there's such a thing as a human nature, and that nature can be made objectively better or worse. We, of course, in our academies try to make it, and the Catholic Church in general tries to make it human nature.
And they come in our path. You know, we're the ones that got to step out. Kathleen always says we're called to preach, teach, heal, and deliver.
Right.
You know, and that's our job description. You know, and sometimes you hesitate. You know, but we got to take the time. So I told him, and he's just another example of the Lord calling me out to say, you know, hey, we got to intercede is another word.
Mm-hmm.
We do that on this program. We make intercession on behalf of a number of people. And I just wanted to mention the fact that, sometimes you shrink from it a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
You say, well, I'll pray for it. But sometimes that's not really good enough, mm-hmm. right? Well, we've got to take the time
mm-hmm.
to say, now let's pray. We started prayer. And then I said, I will continue praying for this situation. But I did tell him what you mentioned in your prayer. Not only for God will bring to his glory, but God knows how to bring good out of situations that seem to us to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how could God bring good out of this?
Yeah.
But he can.
Yeah. He can. He can turn any situation into good. And John, I'm a walking example of that. You know that.
Me too.
Okay?
Both
you,
of us.
You know my stories, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and go back 10 years ago, all right? I was a mess.
Yeah.
I was a mess. I was on the bottom of my life. My world was falling apart, everything.
Mm. Mm.
And look where I am today, okay?
God
just can take a situation and totally turn
it around.
You know? I remember when the good Monsignor first mentioned to me about becoming a deacon, and I said to him, "Are you crazy?" I said, "You got to be crazy, you know." I said, "You've heard my confessions. You've heard my story. You know my life, Monsignor. No way." He was still a father at that time, and I said, "No way. I'm not worthy of it, you know." But God has a plan, and His plan is for our good and not our woe. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11, okay? I live by that scripture every day, okay? My Bible cover has that scripture on it. I live by it, you know? God's plan is 10 times greater than anything we can ever think of. And probably really 100 times greater than anything we can think of. But His plan is always for our betterment, okay? No matter what we're going through, He will turn it to work it for good, as long as we put our faith in Him, as long as we put our trust in Him, He can turn anything in our lives to good and make it good and make it become a sample for somebody else to come to them.
And as was mentioned in Ann McGlone's program, I Will Be Done, with Ed Morris earlier, surrendering. That was the word they used.
Yep.
And again, that's the hard part of letting go.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what surrender then does. We used to say yield to the Spirit. Remember?
Yep, and, years ago we said yield to the Spirit.
We used to say yield, but I mean the word surrender has much more of a deeper connotation to it.
Yeah.
And that's not easy either.
No. You have to let it go.
You know?
Surrendering means just turning it all over to Jesus.
Turning it over to Jesus.
Allow Him to just take the situations in our lives and let Him work it for the betterment of the people, okay, the betterment of God. We are all to be examples. We are all the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world, John. You know that as well as I do, okay? We need to be able to just say, our yes is to God's direction in life, okay? Mary said yes to bring Jesus into the world. Kathleen said yes to become the president of this program, okay? I know she fought it. I remember her saying it. She fought it, okay?
Yes,
I remember,
she did.
I remember certain things with one morning in prayer with Mike Alzheimer, okay? And I said to Mike, I said, "The Lord's telling me He gave you the message. You need to take that message to the person He told you to take it to." I had no clue what it was. It had to do with Kathleen taking over the program, okay? I didn't know it at the time. So, but it was just one of those things. But we have to trust, and we have to trust that when the Lord's given us something to do, we take that step. Now, if I hadn't taken that step, somebody else had to gotten that message? Absolutely. If God wants something done, He'll get it done. Mm. He'll bring it to fruition the way it's supposed to be. But He asked us to trust Him and take the step for Him. And that's what it's what you and I are here for, John.
Yeah.
We come here on a Friday afternoon, and we are offering ourselves up for this hour to pray for others. Okay?
That's right.
You have other things you could be doing. I have other things I could be doing. But we're here because we've said yes to God's call. Yeah. And that's a calling that Jesus wants to manifest and wants to bring the glory. And that's why we're here. And that's why we tell you folks, call in. We're not, John and I aren't here just to preach to you. We aren't. That's the least we want to do. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for your needs and for your intentions.
So. And I want to give thanks to God to be, would you believe I cat on the road today around, right after 3:30 sometime, I was getting ready to get on I-95, and it looked like there was a couple of backups on my ramps. Mm-hmm. So I tried to, redirect myself. I said, "Lord, lead me, because I don't know what I'm going to run into today." I usually do run into traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lo and behold, I get on finally, and there's a backup way down near Broad Street, near the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said, "This is going to be a long one." I'm getting the temptation to get off and make a call and say, "Deacon Fran, I don't think I'm coming in." Nope, I got to hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
I got to hang in there. Well, whatever it was, slow till I get to Prospect Park, come off the side and go on towards I-476, the Blue Route. And there's two state troopers having caught somebody, whatever. They were there dealing with something. And that was a bottleneck right there. Well, I was able to get past. Now, to my great surprise, God is full of surprises. And I said, Lord, I need a Red Sea miracle, because if I'm backed up back there,
yeah,
I don't know what it's going to be like up there.
Right.
Up there.
Yep.
That's where I get it. Well, do you know, that place was as clear as I've ever seen it.
Wow, that's odd, because that blue root can be...
I was as clear as I've ever seen it, and I want to praise the Lord. It must be a good year coming up, friend, because it's sake, I never had a clear ceiling like that.
Yep. Praise God.
I said I was going to stop and get something to eat, because
you were here early tonight, John.
Yeah, but I'm saying, it's funny, because maybe that's a way of saying to you, brothers and sisters, you see, God, I think there's going to be a lot of obstacles removed as we come into this year. You know, well, one of the things that come to me right now is in Father Doug had said there's a lot of people who have calls in their life,
mm-hmm.
and they're not responding to
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Lord is going to remove a lot of stumbling blocks and obstacles to people's lives to hear His voice and to respond to His call.
Yep.
You know, I believe that He's going to remove things. He's going to mm-hmm. open up the eyes.
He's going to open up the doors.
Right. Make the ways straight, mm-hmm. you know, as we did in Advent. You know, mm-hmm. really open these ways to let people respond and to see Him.
Yep.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord,
mm-hmm.
that I may
perfect
see You.
Soul.
You know,
yeah.
But I'm saying, so I'm believing that. Like when Father Doug said that, he said we should be praying that people respond. I want to lift up. You know, we're going to go to a break, but when we come back, I want to pray for not only vocations, but the people who have already gotten calls from God and are not responding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And I mean,
good.
Remember Father Doug had mentioned that?
Yes. Yes.
And I believe that mm-hmm. because we're sin abounds, grace far more abounds.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, so whatever we see around that's negative, anything that's creating darkness, the light is, St. John, right, we were listening to those readings, right, during this week.
Mm-hmm.
The light has overcome the darkness.
Yeah. Anything that's in the darkness will come into the light.
Come into the light.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is right.
And so that these people can come out and mm-hmm. show themselves to respond to God's call. And I think that we stand as the watchman on the wall
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as we come into this new year.
Yep.
You know, so when we come back, Frank, we're going to take our break, and Deacon Fran Phillips is here. John Madrigal with you. Stay with us. We're coming right back.
This is Mike Balmazy of Villa Joseph Marie High School. I've been a listener to Kathleen McCarthy and her radio station and his sign ministry for years, and I can never say enough good things about Kathleen. Her insightfulness, her dedication to the church, her love of the Holy Spirit, and the beautiful way she expresses herself as a daughter of the church and as a daughter of Mary, deserves to be listened to, deserves to be praised. And I can't encourage you more than to do what you can for New Side Ministry. God bless.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history. You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds
where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, praise God, everyone, and welcome back to this Friday Healing Day on this Friday, December 29th, and the fifth day of the Octave of Christmas, the Deacon Fran Phillips. We're going to go back to prayer, and I just wanted to say that was what I left you off with, that prayer. So so many of the, especially maybe the younger people that are getting calls from God, mm-hmm. and yet are not responding to the call.
Right, and you know, it's the call is we have to be open. How do we be open? Well, the good Lord gave us two ears, all right? And that's what we need to do. We need to listen more. You know, God's call may not be, you know, like, John, I want you to do this. Because it doesn't come that way. It's in the whispers. It's in the quiet times. Mm. It's in the as the wind blows past.
You were with Marty Rotella, Whisper
right.
of the Winds.
Whispers
one
of the Winds.
One of his songs.
Right, one of his songs, okay. Mm-hmm. Father Dominic Rossi wrote the book about whispers, and I can't think of the name of it offhand, mm-hmm. but Listening to the Whispers, I think, is what the name was. You know, Father Rossi's from South Philly down in St. Gabe's.
Yeah, Dom Rossi, yeah.
You know, a great book. I've read it several times, and you know, it helps me. With actually, have, you know, Father Dominic, if you're listening, I've stolen a few of your phases for homilies. So you know, just so you know, but it's just, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to listen to those whispers. So when we talk about that, I don't know how many of our listeners out there right now, you may be getting called by God. Maybe something in your heart is saying, I need to do this. You know, maybe you're being called to a life, a religious life. You know, maybe a sister or a brother or something like that. Or even being called to the priesthood or the diaconate, you know. The Lord wants to put us all to use. And certain one of us, he wants to give a bigger use than others. But he has a plan, and you know, we have to trust in that plan. So if you are being called, if you do sense that the Lord's calling you for something, you know, pray about it, discern it. You know, let the Lord teach you in his ways and how you want. Go see a spiritual director. Go see your parish priest and tell him what you're feeling, and he'll pray with you, you know, and he'll help.
Should we
you.
Pray for a spiritual director?
In certain cases, yes. Okay, in certain cases, yes. There's many a spiritual director out there, but you need to pray for the Lord to lead you to the one that he wants you to go to. Mm. So that is a prayer that you need to do.
Yeah.
I know that Monsignor Chifo, you know, is my spiritual director, and he's been my spiritual director for a lot of years. But there's been a couple other priests that in certain occasions I go to them because I know that the direction they'll give me is more what the Lord wanted me to have. Mm. So, yeah, so, you know, but the spiritual director, my main spiritual director is Monsignor Chifo. He's right. He's the guy that I go to when I need that time of direction, when he's done wonders with me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's walked me through my downturn, my time of failure, my time of falling to the ground. He was there to help me get up, and he was the one to help me get back on the right path. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I trust in him. Yeah. You know, from that standpoint, I trust him as a spiritual director. So, spiritual direction is excellent. And if you're called to a ministry, spiritual direction is important. You know, Monsignor Chifo is the spiritual director for this program. Okay, for all of these programs here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about Father Doug McKay. I mean, he's spiritual director for the Calyx situation with Ken Johnson and those group.
That's right.
So, you know, spiritual direction is important to all of us, okay? And yes, Jesus can give us that direction himself, but sometimes he has a spiritual director to guide and direct us, and that's what they're there for.
That's what I think for this upcoming year I'm going to be praying. Lord, help me to pray for a good spiritual director.
Mm-hmm.
That would, because you know I had an excellent one, but at the same time I haven't had one since.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is our pastor our spiritual director in a sense?
In a sense, yes. In a sense, yes. Your pastor is always your spiritual director. He's the one that guides you in your daily walk. But sometimes you need a spiritual director who can actually talk directly to you in your spirit, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, a good spiritual director is also your confessor.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You have
right.
to be open with your spiritual director.
Yeah.
You have to be able to let him know
everything
in your life. Even the bads, like I said, the Monsignor Chifo, he knows my bads, okay? So he knows where I'm at, you know. He's been an excellent confessor for me. He's been an excellent spiritual director for me, and he's helped me walk through a lot of things, especially in the recent years with discerning what I needed to do, moving on and things like that.
Yeah.
So he's always been a good spiritual director for me that way.
Even the Bible says wisdom in many counselors, but this, right? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're going to want to go back to some prayer requests.
Yeah, we have two here that we need to pray for. One is for Mary. She's recovering from a hip surgery. And Heavenly Father, I lift up Mary to you, Lord Jesus, and I ask you right now to reach out to her and to touch her. To bring her peace, first of all, Lord, but I also ask that you would bring a healing grace upon that hip, that you would help Mary through her recovery, through her therapy and whatever it is that she has to go through, Lord, to give her the strength to move forward and to know that you are the guiding hand there and that you've used the doctors, Lord, to help the healing process begin. And now you will complete the healing process through therapy and whatever else it is that she needs. So we place Mary in your hands, and we just know that your loving touch is there. And for Gerald, who's calling in for some financial help and financial blessings, Lord Jesus, well, Lord, we've all been there. We've all struggled at different times with finances. So, Gerald, I just lifted your financial situation up. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it involves family, extended family, or what it may be, but I just ask you, Lord Jesus, you know the situation. You know what it is that Gerald needs and what his family needs. So I lift them up to you, Lord, and just place those financial needs in your hands, putting, again, our trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus will provide. Jesus was the one who will show us what you need and sometimes what you don't need, which will help you meet your needs. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. I want to mention, I want to lift up old Grace Marquet's intentions. And for those who might be interested, this New Year's Eve, which is Sunday, again, we're right there again with that Sunday and then the Holy Day coming right together. Well, Grace is going to be part of the vigil at St. Barnabas, which starts at 8 o'clock, and Grace will be given a concert from about 9:15 to 10 o'clock, and I can tell you that she's committed herself to coming back to. Kathleen prayed with her at the Charismatic Conference and said told her the Lord was not finished with her yet.
Right.
And she's come back. She's, of course, she's doing a radio program here with us once a month. And all I can say is she's got a number of things, and you know her, her niece?
Her niece, Donna.
Donna. She's also praying for a nephew, John, who was hit.
In
a car. He's paraplegic and was hit.
Yep.
Wound up in the ER and then wound up in intensive care.
For a couple weeks.
And has, from my understanding, he's on a road to recovery.
On a road to recovery.
She
want to
continue to pray for that. She's had a number of things. Her sister, she's got a lot of requests that she wants. And here it is. Well, we take that burden of prayer together. We cast our cares on the Lord, and we share our burdens with one another. Right. So let's pray for grace in all our intentions.
Grace, you know how much I love you, and you know how much we've all have been praying together for you and for your friends and your families and your extended family. So I especially right now lift up your niece, Donna, and John. I ask you, Lord, to reach out to both of them and to touch them, to continue the healing process with John, continuing to strengthen him and getting him back on his back in the right area for him. And for Donna, Lord Jesus, I continue to lift Donna up for your healing grace. But Lord, I know that you have used the situation in Donna's life to bring others to you. So I ask you to continue to do that. Continue to touch her and to bring healing to the families and healing to her friends through what suffering Donna has gone through. She has offered that suffering up, Lord, and I know what she's done. I ask you to continue to touch her and to continue to reach out to her and give her the peace that she needs so much of. And for our friend Grace herself, Lord Jesus, I ask you to continue to be the guiding light in her life. Lord, as Kathleen said, you're not done with her yet, and you're never done with any of us, Lord.
Right, amen.
Never, ever done. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you that you would just be the guiding light for Grace right now, and that you would continue to use her to bring others to you, her most gorgeous voice, the beautiful voice that she has, to touch hearts and souls, to open up the doors so that you, Jesus, can enter into their lives and bring glory to the Father through that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. And listen, if you would like to call today, we'd love to hear from you. I know as our signal's down, we don't always get a, just seems like the signal is not as strong anymore.
Yeah, this time of
but
year.
At the same time, if you could hear us, we'd love to hear from you if you want us to pray with you or for you, whatever it is, 610-527-2906 and 888-343-2484. As you were praying, the thought came to me about also to ask you a question. Was one of the things that came to my mind. What's your favorite Christmas carol?
I would have to say Silent Night.
Yeah.
I love Silent Night. There's so much to that carol itself that just constantly reminds us. There's others, Away in the Manger. I love the Away in the Manger. I love the way Marty Rutel has redone Away in the Manger.
I don't know if you heard that.
He's got a beautiful
that.
Version of it.
Yeah, you were blessed to do the retreat with
Marty.
Yeah,
I did Marty's retreat a few weeks ago with Ann and Anna Itest and all. But, yeah, he's got a beautiful version of that. Mm-hmm. I think he recorded it a year or so ago. So he's got a CD, and I have it in the car, and I've listened to it a few times. So that's a beautiful version. So, Away in the Manger is another good one. Joy to the World.
Joy to the World.
You can't get any better than that. That's one we celebrate on Christmas Day,
Amen.
So,
amen.
So there's a
All
lot
right, let's
there.
Go. Let's get a little, I better pray because I got somebody on that's going to let us know what she wants to pray for and pray for me. Oh, Anne-Marie, you're on line one. Let's go to line one. How you doing, honey? How are you?
You better behave.
Yeah. Well, I got Deacon Fran here.
You tell him, Anne-Marie. You tell him.
That's right. Just because I'm calling doesn't mean I'm going to holler at you.
No, and not at all. I was only kidding. Yeah.
Like
you're.
I was discussing about vocation. You also got to remember third orders.
Oh, very good point.
Right.
Oh, Janice will holler at me for that one because she's in formation right now. I forgot. Oh, boy.
And so is John.
So is John. Okay.
John's becoming a third order Franciscan like me.
Thank you.
That's what Janice is doing. That's what Janice is doing.
See?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And Father Doug is a third order Franciscan.
He is too.
And Ken is also.
That's right.
Ken's a third order.
So we got a lot of third orders here.
You got Chaz DeFeo's a third order Dominican.
Chaz DeFeo.
And
Kathleen's
a Carmelite.
Carmelite.
She's a Carmelite.
So, honey, you're right.
Yep, you're right. When I lift up vocations, I lift up all vocations.
All vocations.
Amen. So, I take into the third order in the consideration. So, very good point.
The Pope could be a third order, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. So, absolutely.
Anyway, too, another reason why I was calling you, talking about Grace Marquet, so there's going to be a little concert at St. Barnabas.
Yeah, I was mentioning it.
On New Year's
Eve. The vigil. We're having a New Year's Eve vigil at St. Barnabas starting at 8 o'clock. Yep.
Yep.
And Mass 11:15, and the celebrant will be Father Rayford Emmons.
Yeah.
So he'll be with us, and we want to start the new year with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right? And Our Lady.
And then food afterwards.
Yeah, well, they're doing their own food. That's the good thing. You don't have to go out and get it.
You getting your pork that night at that point?
So, honey, would you like to pray us to pray with?
I also like to pray for Joe Riley.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Joe's still recuperating.
He had his ankle out of socket, and then he got operated on.
Well, he's had a tough hoe there.
You know, praying for him. And I just seen him today. I got to spend a little time with him today.
Good.
It was very nice.
God.
Good.
And the little girl that had passed away.
Did you hear about that 11-year-old girl was visiting?
I don't know her name,
yes.
She lives around here. She was
around where we were at.
Is that your neighborhood out there? Okay.
Yeah, I
heard about that. Yeah. They said it was natural causes.
We had the water main break.
Yeah, we had a water main break, too.
Yeah.
And we got another caller. Okay. We're going to pray for that.
Let's pray with Anna Marie right now.
And then we're going to go to our another caller. Thank you, dear.
All right. You take care. God bless.
Take care, Anna Marie. God bless.
God bless.
Heavenly Father, we do come to you with those requests that Anna Marie just brought up. And we do, Lord Jesus, if I was missed, I do lift up those in formation for the third order and those who are in third order. So there is such a brotherhood and sisterhood there that brings people closer to you through those orders. So I do praise and thank you. I know I've attended a few of the things with Janice, and boy, you really get touched, particularly with the Franciscans. They have just a beauty about them and a love that is so great. So I lift up them. I lift up my friend Chaz, who's also, and Kathleen, who are third orders, one Dominican, one in Carmelites. And I just ask you, Lord Jesus, to continue to bless them through that third order. And I thank you for that, Lord. We lift up the young girl, Lord, that Henry talked about. She passed away or went home to you. Only 11 years old, Lord. And I know there's many, I'm sure, her own parents, and a lot of people are just saying, wow, why?
The question.
Why such a young age? And, Lord, you have a plan. We don't know how many years we're on this earth. We don't. And it's your plan. And Lord, take that situation and make it work to the glory of God, so that people will come to see your presence in that situation and will come to know you better through that young child's death. So we praise and thank you, Lord, for that.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, any other intentions that Anne-Marie has, Joe Riley that she mentioned, and the healing, and Joe, my good friend, I love him, Joe, dearly, him and Bob Matthews. And, Joe, I just continue to lift up you and continue to pray for you, Lord, and ask the Lord to touch that ankle and bring it to complete healing, so that we get Joe back to the meetings we need him back for the man-up group. So, you know, Lord Jesus, continue to touch Joe and
back
ask
on your
to
feet,
be
Joe.
With, get back on your feet, Joe. You've slacked off enough for now. So. And Lord Jesus, you know, we're having a little bit of fun with these prayers, but that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about communication and talking
and
with
the joy
God,
that
and the
Lord
joy
gives
that
us
he gives us with
to
it,
be so. Able to pray for these people. All right, let's go to Nick, Deacon Fran on line two. Hello, Nick. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good evening, gentlemen. Oh, as going back a few moments ago, those are my favorite. And if I may add that, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh, yes.
If I may, ask prayers for myself and my younger brother and for a friend of his who just received some very good news. A lesion on her brain, cancer reoccurrence is beginning to go into remission, and that young lady is doing much better. So for myself and those two good folks, like to lift them all up in prayer, and along with for yourselves and for your loved ones, your families, and for everyone at WTMR.
Well,
thank you, Nick.
Thank bless you.
Very
Merry
God
Christmas
bless.
To
Have
you.
A Merry Christmas
and a happy and
happy
blessed
and
year.
Whole with New Year.
And to you and yours. Thank you so much for all you gentlemen for all you do.
Thank you.
And been doing and continued success in your radio ministry. Yeah.
You want to stay on the line while Deacon Fran prays?
By all means, yes. I'm right
Come
here.
On.
Yeah,
all right, sure. Stay here.
Heavenly Father, I just come to you right now and lift up Nick. And we thank you, Nick, for calling in and for your prayer request. We lift up your brother, your younger brother, and all those that you've just mentioned for prayers and needs. And we ask the Lord to bring a healing grace upon each and every person and whatever it is. That young person with the lesions, Lord Jesus, I ask you to continue to heal that and continue to restore completely to your glory. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this. And we thank you for the gift that Nick just gave us, for thanking us for the ministry and all here. So we lift up this ministry to you, Lord, and just ask you to continue to pour out your blessings and to use this ministry. Use it, Lord, to bring others closer to you and to a closer walk with you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nick.
God bless you, Nick.
Thank you so much. And to you and yours. Thank you so
all right.
much.
All right.
God bless.
You.
Take care.
Yeah. All right.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night. And that's a great call.
It is. You know, and listening to Nick, and he lifts up about the young person with the lesions, it dawned on me on something that I was supposed to pray for. And, you know, Father Paul, if you're listening, please forgive me. But Father Paul Stinson, good friend.
Who my wife knows well.
You know Paul well, yes. And, you know, Paul called me the other day, and we just chit-chatting and talking, but he told me that he's got to be operated on again. That, you know, this will be about the fourth or fifth time he's had those brain tumors and he continues to struggle with them.
Wow.
So I want to lift Paul up and just place him in our Lord's hands and trust in Jesus. And, you know, I prayed with Paul yesterday on the phone, but Lord Jesus, you know, I'm stepping out here in faith, and you know how much love I have for Paul, how much of a good man he's been. He was one of my original spiritual directors, Lord, so I ask you just to continue to touch Paul and to bring healing to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace that you have for Paul. Thank you for the love that you have for Paul. I ask you, Jesus, to reach out and to guide the doctors and the neurologists, and the neurosurgeons, and all those that will be involved. And that, Lord Jesus, I know you're the great healer, and I know that you can actually reduce those size of those tumors now, even before he gets operated on. So, Jesus, reach out to Paul, touch him, heal him, and strengthen him, and to renew him in your spirit, and to allow this, again, Lord, allow this situation in Paul's life to touch others, to bring them closer to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Wow. Praise God. I mean, what a way to conclude as we come to the end of our program, because, you know, you like to hear people calling. You like to hear the living voice. But at the same time, you know, we love to take prayer requests no matter what. Finally, as a last word, she mentioned Joe Roddy. You mentioned Bob Matthews. So many people through the past, present, and those. We're going to even pray for those who are come to be a future part of this ministry. You mentioned the new people that come on board with Father Doug and Ken, who are doing such a great job. And then their program, Saints and Sinners, right? That they have. Brian Gale, of course, we got together with. They got some beautiful people who, like you had said, though, earlier, who have said yes.
Yes. You know, and in a sense, you know, as we do come to a close, I want to lift up this whole program.
Yes, please do.
From
it's a great way to conclude.
Monday to Friday.
That's right.
You look at all the programs that we have. Joe Riley on Mondays, Father Len on Mondays.
We've got Father Len. That's right.
You got Kathleen on Tuesdays with her great program. And I've heard that program so many times, and nobody calls into her, and I feel so bad for her. But it's just something that she just has a wonderful program there. And Ken and Father Doug and yourself, myself, you know, the Thursday programs with
Monsignor Chifo.
Monsignor Chifo and Father, oh my goodness, Kathleen's going to holler at me.
Roach.
Father Roach, thank you. I just drawn a blank. So, Father in Heaven, I just come to you with each and every one of us involved with this program and all those behind the scenes, the Harrys and the Franks and the Marys and Julies Judy's. And Maureen, Lord Jesus. Maureen, I lift up this whole group of innocent. Jesus, you have been a blessing to us. We hopefully are a blessing to others through you. So, Jesus, we lift each of those in our program who have said yes. I ask you, Lord, to pour out your blessings upon them, that you would be a new light for each of us, and that you would help us all, Lord, to continue to say yes for you as we each take our steps, one step at a time, trusting in you, putting our faith in you, and looking to you to answer all things. I especially lift up our leader, Kathleen. I ask you, Lord, for a special blessing on her. She has been a wonderful guide. Wow. She took over for Dom after Dom passed away, Lord, and she was the one that you called. She said yes to that call. So I ask for your special blessing on Kathleen and on all of her family, that you would reach out and touch each one in your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And as we get ready to go out, I have to say, I would like to lift up our Archbishop.
Yes.
Charles Chaput. I like to lift up our pastors. I like to lift up all of our deacons. I like to lift up all our religious during this time who have said yes and have given themselves and their lives unselfishly to serve God and His church. And because without, and we're many parts, but we're one body.
We're one body.
And so in that manner, I just like to pray as in front of the icon of Our Lady Mediatrix, the miraculous image and icon. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we're going to see you till next year.
That's right. So have a happy new year. Before we do that, we need to ask one more prayer request.
Yes, sure.
St. Maximian Kolbe, our patroness.
Oh, yes.
Pray for us.